Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. New year begins. Holidays are behind us. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air from the Southern Bancorp Studio here in Oak Grove, Mississippi. And we start out the new year with a full crew, Bob, Kelly, and Dima, all here in the studio. And we're glad that you're with us. Opening segment of the show every day, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit today. No different. Great place to start out the new year with a great meal. Great place to cater your next big event. And again, we want to thank all of our good friends at Southern Bancorp for making our studio sponsorship possible every year. All right, we'll catch you up on any football signees a little later in the show, men's basketball as well. College football going to kick off again this week, and got a lot of NFL football in the air as well. But first, we want to talk a little Lady Eagle basketball, and we're happy to have head coach Missy Builder back on, who's off to a great start. 10-5, 3-1 in the league, and an exciting 98-95 win over a really good Troy team. At least their record certainly indicated that coming into the greenhouse. But the Lady Eagles walk away with another big win, and Coach Builder back, congratulations. You know, this has just been a great start for women's basketball. I know there's a lot of excitement in the air.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a fun year so far, and just really a lot to look forward to. I mean, we've got obviously a very tough Sun Belt Conference slate ahead of us with 10 of our last 15 being on the road. So, but I am excited. We're starting to play some pretty good basketball and starting to see some players, you know, Ja'Kayla Johnson and some of our players really start to play their best. And so that's exciting. And, you know, I certainly think the best could be ahead of us if we can continue to grow.
Let me interrupt you. Did you say 10 of your last 15 league games will be on the road?
Well, one of those is a MAC challenge game, but yes, so 10 of the 14, yeah, we're on the road. So, yeah. But that's okay. That's okay. You gotta learn how to, you know, you gotta learn how to win on the road, and so that's part of it.
Yeah, but we've never been on this program, Coach. We've never been big fans of the schedulers in the Sun Belt Conference. The way that they'll put. And it's not just Southern Miss. It's all the teams in the league. They'll put you for like four games on the road and then four at home. Whatever happened
right.
to the 1-1
right.
or 2-2? It's just a
right.
lot. But
Yeah. And I'm not complaining at all. I mean, we've got five home games left, so that's just something we've got to embrace, you know. And I agree with you. It makes for a tough go at times. But just it wears the kids down. It misses some class, obviously. But I'm more, you know, I just think right now for us, like, we got to kind of embrace it. We got to be road warriors and road dogs, you know, and just kind of have a mindset of, hey, if you know, you got to do whatever it takes to win on the road. And we want to finish this year and, you know, kind of that halfway point, right? And so we want to make sure we finish this year as strong as we can and give ourselves a chance to be in the mix there at the end, right?
Well, let's
embracing that's really important.
Well, let's recap the week. First of all, let's back up. 91-83 loss at the hands of Arkansas State, and you had the Red Wolves at halftime. You were leading at halftime, Coach Builderback, and then what happened to let it get away? And then we're going to talk about Ja'Kayla Johnson's 30-point effort against Troy. But let's start with Arky State.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, we had a really bad minute coming out of half. I mean, we just had a bad minute. They got a 3-point play right out of half, beat us off the bounce, fouled them. We have a turnover, and literally calling timeout trying to get it, and another turnover equals a three, and boom, just like that, you know, an 8-0 run right there that really kind of sparked them and kind of gave them that momentum back. We battled and kind of overcame that as a one-possession game going into the fourth, and you know, J.K. and Mel both were in foul trouble, not an excuse at all, but they played very limited minutes in the second half due to some offensive charge calls and foul situations. could have been different maybe with those two guys out there. But at the same time, I mean, you look at it and, you know, right there, they're the defending conference tournament champions. And so, you know, felt like we let one get away from us there for sure. There's no moral victories in Sun Belt play. You got to win those. And, you know, certainly being at home. And so I really wanted to see what our team would do, you know, resilient-wise. Are they going to come back and fight, you know, and compete on Saturday? Or are we going to be discouraged and kind of let that frustrate us off that loss from Thursday? And Saturday they came back and competed really well. And, boy, that was a battle. And found a way to win that one against a really good Troy team. So just tells me a lot about our team and what I already knew is, you know, we're gonna give everything we have, and we're gonna bounce back. And when things don't go our way, we're gonna fight and be even hungrier. You know, and that's what I wanted to see from our group for sure.
Coach, back to the scheduling discussion. You've played 15 games so far, 10 of them at home, and three away, two of that neutral site tournament. But is there something to be said that you know you haven't had that many away games so far this season, and you now you like you said you have 10 to finish off the season. And I know we, you know, complain about scheduling a lot. That to me just seems kind of unfair that you haven't even had time to really prepare your team for an away game. Only three thus far this season, 3 months in.
Well, and I think some of that, you know, obviously, you know, we were in a situation as many home non-conference games as we can get. You know, you want to do that for just attendance and your fan base and being able to create that. Obviously, it's an opportunity for you to do well in non-conference, which does help net and, you know, opportunities when you look down the road of maybe having a shot to get an extra team in the tournament or whatnot, your postseason play, you know, being able to get those non-conference wins are important. But, yeah, I mean, I really, and I didn't say that at all, you know, obviously, you know, I know it does make it tough to be on the road at that stretch, but I really am trying to, like, embrace that and be in a situation where, you know, basketball's basketball, and you go and you play, whether it's home, away, or whatnot. And, you know, we've got to be able to, you know, really have a great mindset going into this stretch to be able to finish the way we want to finish. And that's more what that's about, is just the toughness and the grit and the Southern Miss grit and the mindset we've got to have to be able to get these road wins going on and setting that tone for our team right now that there's no excuses. You know, we got to go find a way to get it done, you know.
Real quick, I don't know if you can announce this yet, but do you know where that MAC challenge is going to be in February?
Yes. I'm not sure if it's been announced.
Okay. I don't want to pressure you or anything, but I just.
Yeah, I think I haven't looked. I know I got an email earlier, and I'm excited about the matchup. You know, we're going to Toledo, so you know, I think that's going to be, they traditionally have a really strong women's basketball program, great attendance, and, you know, a really, really good tradition up there. And so we played them year one when I was actually at Monroe, and they had a very good basketball team that year. And so different head coach now and a few changes. But, yeah, it'll be a good, great matchup for us for sure, a great non-conference game.
Well, Coach, in case that hasn't been released, we'll just keep it between us. That is totally right.
How about that? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is, but I'm 99% sure. Hope I didn't mess up on that. But
A couple minutes left. Is there anything right now that disappoints you and or concerns you and you want to see improved on your team? Because from a stands perspective, things look like they're going really, really well.
Well, I probably wouldn't be a very good coach if I didn't have a long list of things that we needed to improve on, Bob, for sure. So,
right.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't think disappointment would be the word for sure. I think, you know, I really have said this every interview I've done, but I truly love my team. I love all 13 players. I love the heart of our team. I love the camaraderie. I love their work ethic. They're great people, which makes it so fun for us as a staff to get to coach great people every day. So, those things, A+, you know, and that's what's ultimately, man, that'll take you really far, you know. Your character of your team really matters, you know, and so I'm really pleased with that. But, you know, I think obviously rebounding is an area. We were able to out-rebound Arkansas State, did not win that game, but rebounding and some of our losses have been an Achilles heel for us for sure. Like, that's been a problem. And so just continuing to challenge each kid to find, you know, it, by committee, we don't have to, you know, Sakaya White's been big for us, you know, throughout this year. But, And then continuing to have kids step up that can make a difference for us in that area, you know, off the bench and be able to have more production for us there, you know. So I think rebounding and just our overall depth, you know, of our team, I think there's more in our kids, and maybe we've got to find a way to get that extra gear, and we've got to have a little more production from our bench, from a standpoint of, you know, maybe our bigs particularly, and I think we've got more in us there than what we've shown thus far. So not disappointed in anybody, but certainly a lot of areas we can improve. Defensively, had some growing pains. A lot of that has to do that we're, you know, decided to play small ball. We're a little undersized, shooting the three a lot, and, you know, I think we're top 30 in the country in scoring right now, Division I team. So, I mean, obviously you kind of have to sometimes pick your battles in there. And you know, I think right now with the way women's basketball's trending, and rather be able to score it, I've got five starters in double figures, averaging double figures, and, you know, just kind of the style we've decided to play. But we can certainly make some gains defensively as well.
All right, Coach. Well, it seems like you're off to a great start. We're really in your corner. We're all really happy for you. We look forward to having you back on the show really soon.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. Thank y'all for everything. Appreciate all the support. And you guys have been awesome. So thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Missy Builder back, everybody. Ladies basketball coach, Southern Miss, off to a good start, 10-5, 3-1 in the league.
And the men are rolling.
And the men are rolling. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back. Eagle Tire West sponsors the second segment of our program every day, and we encourage you to see them for premium Goodyear products. Full service auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Eagle Tire West has been family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West, Goodyear tires. Full service for autos and trucks, and they're big, big Southern Miss supporters.
And I don't want to talk about double standards, Bob, but if you're a guy like me that especially loves his daughters, okay, this is the time when they're home from college, they've got the car, mm-hmm. right? You want to make sure, as a parent, mm-hmm. that car is safe, make sure the tires are mm-hmm. balanced, mm-hmm. that the wear on the tires is good. Last thing you want in this world is for your daughter to break down on the side of a road, you know, for something that could have perhaps right. been
well, that's,
prevented.
That's
so,
for sure.
So this is a good time of year for you dads to, while the daughters are still home from college break, get those cars taken
Unless
care
it was
of.
My daughter and anybody that approached her, I'd feel sorry for them. But I do know what you mean.
Well, most of your...
I do know what you mean by
Your
that.
Daughter would fly places, Bob, not have to drive.
That's right.
Hey, MCS Home Private Center jet. Is waiting for you. Home repair, home remodeling, home construction. The kind of work Kelly does at every opportunity. Everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden. It's available at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. MCS is Hattiesburg's new improvement home center, Highway 98 West. And Dima is just a couple of months away, and Kelly will be back out working in the yard in the Speedo, and you'll know spring is here.
Oh, boy.
Man, I am.
Spring has sprung.
I am the least mechanically inclined person that there is. In fact, I've...
It's more like mechanically reclined.
Yes,
that's what Kelly is.
He has a mechanical recliner.
If the mob wanted me to blow up a car, I would burn my lips on the exhaust pipe. That's
what's that even mean?
Like it's a,
okay.
Never mind.
Like,
I don't really.
All right, men's basketball. Like that at all. Men's basketball is doing well too. Two road games. They might. Put your finger on this men's team. It's encouraging, I think.
No, I think it is. You know, when Tavares went down against Louisiana a couple weeks ago now, it feels like that wasn't that long ago, but it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago because it was before Christmas. But I really felt like that was maybe the end of this basketball team. I think we all kind of had that in the back of our heads of like, oof, you know, he's the leading scorer. Nobody else has really done anything. I don't know what it's going to look like. And you saw the team. I think they even kind of looked better against Louisiana on Saturday than they did the first matchup. Maybe it was because they'd seen the defense first, and Louisiana isn't very good. But anytime you can go and win on the road,
in the Sun Belt and score in the way that they did. And one player that's really starting to come along, I think, from a scoring perspective, is Dylan Brumfield. And this is a guy who, you know, at William Carey, averaged 30 points a game. You talked to Jay Ladner. If we called him right now, got him on the phone and said, Dylan Brumfield, he'd call back to when he was dropping 30, 35 points against Southern Miss when William Carey would play Southern Miss. It's like, and then your question was like, well, why isn't he doing that here? And it may be because it's just taking a while to gel to what his role in the offense is. But I think now that he's finding that role, it's making him into a Tavares-type player that Southern Miss can depend on. So if Tavares were to come back and you have both of them in the backcourt, that was the original star-studded backcourt that Ladner was very excited about in October. So hopefully if they could get Tavares back, and then you have both of them doing what they're doing.
Could not agree with you more. Also, Dylan Brumfield's not afraid to take it to the hole.
Which
some of the other guys are a little bit more timid to do that. But to your original point, Dima, I think that Dylan Brumfield didn't think that that was going to have to be his role.
Sure.
Right? And then when Tavares goes down, he kind of even said to some of his other teammates, well, looks like I'm going to have to kind of put my William Carey shoes on, meaning I'm going to have to change up what my responsibilities are. Now, the Eagles are still susceptible to the zone. All right, when teams run a really good scrappy zone against them, they have difficulty getting the ball inside, which means they have to rely on the three-point shooting. And they've been kind of streaky. They started out poorly, then had a good run from the three-point line. Now they had a couple of bad games, but they won those games. And they won on the road. Now, as we paint the entire picture, Louisiana and Louisiana Monroe are going to be probably two of the weaker teams in the conference. But there's still wins on the road, which is like taking one away from the field. And when the water gets a little bit deeper, we'll see how they perform. But you're right. So far, so good. At the beginning of the year, with a completely new roster for all practical purposes, not only on the floor, but in the coaching chairs, mm-hmm. almost all the assistant coaches were brand new. You realistically couldn't think that this team was going to do a whole lot. But so far, so good. And I think
They're 9-7, right?
Yeah,
They're 3-1 in conference. If you take care of business this week against two other weak teams in Texas State and Monroe coming back here,
right?
You could very realistically be 5-1 in conference, which would be a tremendously good start before a really tough. And we talk about scheduling. My goodness, whoever did this to Southern Miss should just be, examined. Four road games in a row after this. Southern Miss won't be back in action in Hattiesburg until the 29th of January. So if you don't get to see them out this week, you might as well just book it until February when they come back and play upstate James Madison. And then they get a nice little three-game home stand before going back on the road to end the season. So a lot of road games for both the men's and women's teams coming up. And that, to me, is when the rubber meets the road for this Golden Eagle basketball team. Now, I do think it's important, though, if you start 5-1 in conference, we talked all the time about this bracket, the way it shapes out. You know, obviously what you would want is the number one versus and number two seed because you get straight into the semifinal. But I don't think Southern Miss is probably going to get there, if we're being realistic. Maybe they are. Great season. Maybe they figure it out. And they, you know, that we can leave that open. But if they could just get into that next bunch, which is the, I think it's the three through the six seed. If you could get that double bye, and then only have to win three games, get straight into the quarterfinals.
And really, Dima, when you look at the conference, I'm gonna
pull it up.
When you look at the conference so far, there does not appear to be a juggernaut.
No.
I mean, it looked like South Alabama was going to kind of grab, and there is no Western Division and Eastern Division in basketball, right? It's all just the one. But it looked like South Al was going to be a team that was kind of grabbed. But they've shown that they're susceptible. So Arkansas State probably, again, is just like on the women's side, flexing their muscles a little bit. But, again, not insurmountable. There just does not appear to be a team that's going to run away.
I'm going to give you each 1 minute to answer this question. I'm going to start with you, Kelly. The difference, and you fill in the blanks. The difference, the biggest difference I see in this basketball team and last year's is?
Depth, with a capital D. Because even without Tavares, and Jay Ladner kind of talked about this a little last week when he was on the show, not as big, it's a big deal, but not as big a deal because now you have to implement Brewer Carruth a little more. You've just had to switch up the role on Dylan Brumfield that we talked about.
He's a really good player.
He is. I mean, and whatever you need him to do, if you need him to run the point, you can do that. If he needs to run an off forward position, he can do that. The only thing that limits him maybe a little is his lack of size. Now, he's a lot taller than me, but I'm saying for basketball standards, he's not a really big guy. But, man, great ball handler, basketball savvy through the roof, depth. The Eagles have got more guys that can come off the bench and get it done.
All right, Damon, the difference in this year's team and last is?
I'm not sure yet, but I would echo Kelly's sentiment from depth. I think they have a little bit better guard play as well, and less distractions is a big deal to me.
I think that's a good point.
Because, you know, with everything that was going on with Jay Ladner last season, of course, Andre Curbelo and everything that was going on there were so many off-the-court distractions. And as a former basketball player, that really matters. It you know, people don't really understand it. One thing about the bracket that I just want to go back to, Southern Miss last year was the 12 seed going into the tournament, which means they would have had to have won all the games, which would have been first through, so that's seven games to win the conference championships.
That's just ridiculous.
But what I'm saying is, with a 5-1 start in conference, if they were to take care of business this week, that could set them up to at least finish within the top eight, which I think would be a great finish. That way, that means you only have to win five games, which is still a lot. You would like to be in the top six. I think if they could be in the top six, where they get the triple bye going in, where they don't have to play until that Friday, if they were in the top six. So this tournament starts on Tuesday. If they could get in the top six, I think that would be like best case scenario. Of course, you'd want to be the 1-2 where you only have to play two games. But if you could get the top six and only have to play four games to win the conference championship, I think it's at least doable in that scenario.
Bob, you've done one better than that. You've had a quadruple bypass, haven't you?
No, I haven't, Kelly. I haven't. But thank you for the thought. Yeah, thank you.
Lots to shake out, though, before all that is determined.
All right, so we can say that it's better. That's for sure. Things certainly look better.
Two home games this week. You got Texas State coming in Thursday night and then followed up by Monroe coming in on Saturday. Again, two teams that are traditionally in the Western Division in football. Those are winnable. Those are winnable at home. Hold your serve at home. Grab two or three, four on the road.
Yes.
Sitting pretty good.
Hey, Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of our program, and we're proud that they are. Their sedans and SUVs are beautiful. You can see them all at Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership. They're located on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And as we head to break, I want to remind you and thank you for listening to the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. Alexa or Siri will play it for you, or you can go to Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube, and you can find your favorite episode and listen away. Right?
Weren't we nominated to be nominated for Podcast of the Year?
We were nominated to be nominated by a guy who no longer is nominated.
Okay.
We were really close. I thought we were really, really close.
Yeah,
I was really proud of
that. We almost made it.
We almost made it, yeah. You know. Maybe we can watch some of these other podcasts and emulate them a little more.
Yeah.
Or talk football when we come back in 39 days till opening day.
Of baseball.
Yeah.
Southern Miss to the top.
Oh, yeah. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air 2026. We're so glad that you're a part of the program, and you are. If you listen, you are a big part of our radio program. DBAT sponsors the third segment of the show every day. They're located on Hardy Street. That's where you go for baseball, softball training. 39 days till baseball season, Kelly, so it's time to get the kids at DBAT, start getting them ready for the little leagues.
Yeah, a lot of these tournaments, both softball and baseball, start in the middle of February. So really, you've only got about 4 weeks to
They end at the end of December, so I mean, when is the off season anymore?
Well, legitimate baseball and softball season is spring. Yeah. That's when it counts the most.
Right, no question. But DBAT would be a great place, and now would be the time to get your kids.
Yeah, because the biggest complaint people have is it's either too cold or it's too wet. Or both. Well, you don't ever have to worry about that at DBAT.
That's exactly right. Hey, Forest Health reminds you, too, now as you enter the new year, you got to take care of the most important player on your team, and that is you. You need to get an annual physical to be sure your health is as good as it can be. Kelly's an insurance man. This is the time of year to get them, right?
Might as well. If anything doesn't count or counts toward your deductible, do it in January, because all group health insurance plans, the deductibles are January 1 through December 31.
Okay. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. I think everyone here can agree we're very fortunate to have Forest Health in our community, foresthealth.org.
You talked about it being 39 days away from baseball, Bob, and there's something.
That's how many football players are on the roster.
It's just about 39, maybe a little bit more. Maybe, you know, there's always those official, non-official numbers. But
how bad is the situation right now, David?
I mean, it's pretty dire. Let's just say that. I mean, it's not great, but Blake Anderson and his staff are doing the best they can to try to right the ship. Obviously, we've covered on this program what status the program has been left in since Charles Huff was left and headed to Memphis. And if you go to the Memphis Twitter profile right now and you scroll down of all the players they've signed, they all look pretty familiar, and that's because most of them are here.
How many do you know?
I don't have an official number, but I mean, you got your Amir Foster, Corey Myrick, Doc Chapman. I mean, all the players that transferred, at least they were starters, have gone to Memphis. So
and again, none of this is unusual.
No.
And again, I'll use my alma mater of Iowa State. You know, Matt Campbell went to Penn State. Well, when you look at Penn State signees, most of them are guys from Iowa State. So it's getting to be just kind of a routine.
Yeah. I think I read where Chris Jones seen visiting at Florida State.
Yeah, Florida State and Ole Miss seem to be his two landing spots, potential landing spots. Right now, still kind of quiet as far as national transfer portal. It's still early in the process. Of course, it just opened Friday, so you have a lot of players entering the portal. I'm pretty sure by next week we'll have like a really good idea of where all these players are headed.
So not a lot of activity.
Not a lot of activity as far as commits, but Southern Miss has made offers and has you know, put some players that are like selected a few players. Singled out players. That's the word I'm looking for.
I'll tell you, Dima, don't you think that so far the guys that have hit the jackpot, who have pulled that arm and three gold bars, are the JUCO players?
Yeah, and when you look at what Southern Miss is going to have to do, they're going to have to replace all their offensive line. They're going to have to replace most of their defensive line and a lot of star talent on the outside for receiver and running back specifics. Casey Jean-Baptiste is a guy that they've looked at on the offensive line. He's 6'6", 350, so big boy. He's a two-time JUCO first-team All-American, and he does have an offer from Southern Miss. Steven Robinson, he's also a JUCO running back. He's 5'9", 205. He also has an offer from Southern Miss. Raymond Pernace, former North Texas player. Then he went on to back to JUCO, and now Southern Miss has given him an offer, 6'4", 240, defensive lineman. Now, one player that Southern Miss has offered that I thought was very interesting is a man by the name of Ashton Hollins. He's from Illinois Fighting Illini. He's a 6'5 receiver from Illinois who did see playing time in 2025. Receivers, obviously, a huge area of concern for Southern Miss going into 2026, because all your receivers either graduated, of course, Doc Chapman entered the portal, so there's really no outside talent on the team going into the spring practice window. So Ashton Hollins is one of the first receivers that they have offered, but it seems like to me the strategy as of now, and of course there's going to be more players, it's hard to really gauge all the players because there's just so many. You have to find their individual Twitter profiles, but you know, 247 on three, all of them do great jobs covering that, but it really sounds like the strategy right now for Southern Miss is get the JUCO guys, the best JUCO guys that are available to them now, because I think they feel like the big boy with all the money is going to get all of these first round of good players, if that makes sense. So get your JUCO guys now. The players that the big boys don't get, who still are good, you know, might not be the number one, but might be number five, you know, then use those players to piece together the rest of the roster. That sounds like to me the strategy, which is a very bold strategy, by the way. I think it's kind of risky because you're depending on these JUCO players to hit in key positions.
which, you know, we've seen it happen before where you have, you know, one or two JUCO players do very well at Southern Miss. But, I mean, I don't know if you want to depend your whole roster on that. Not saying Southern Miss is, but they're going to be depending a good chunk of the roster on
How it. Heavy do you think Blake Anderson will want to recruit into high schools to try to build some foundation? For
I think program? A lot. You know, they, of course, only had 9 signees in that 2026 class. That was early national signing day. National signing days in the middle of February, and we've already seen them start offering some other high school players. So I think that that signee class is going to be expanded along with the transfer portal signees they'll get in.
We've talked ad nauseum about how the quarterback position is the thing that you either win or lose at the quarterback position. It's that important. So at this point, Demon, do we even know
who the quarterback
who
is?
Well, I mean, Landry Liddy is obviously the front runner right now because he'll be back on the roster next season. And, you know, John White, of course, is back there as well. And that's really your only two quarterbacks in that room because your other one transferred. The other one was a redshirt freshman. I doubt he'll see any playing time in 2026. I don't know if, you know, they're going to want a quarterback to battle with Landry Liddy for the starting position. So that means they're in line for a starting quarterback somewhere in the portal. And I haven't seen anything where they've singled out a player yet, but I think they're looking for one. But I just don't know where they're going to find one because, you know, starting quarterbacks with experience are expensive, number one. But number two, they are hard to find.
Kelly.
It is. It's like you're shopping.
I understand. No, you're exactly right. You keep up with high school football. Well, both of you do, really. But to me, John White is the mystery here. I mean, he was Mr. Everything in high school. Why have we not seen more of him?
And even as a freshman, we were talking about, of course, that was – under the Will Hall era when there weren't a lot of good things happening, but we thought, man, stick John White in there. Let him get some miles on his tires, and you're not going to have a great team anyway, so let him get some experience, and which will make him all the better. But that is the $64,000 question, and I'm not trying to use this as an NIL pun, but I don't know what if John White hasn't developed like they thought he would. But if there wasn't room for John White, I would think at this point coaches would have sat down and said, look, John, we want you to be able to play somewhere. It's just not going to be here. Right. But the fact that he's still here should tell you something about his skill set, that they're not ready to give up on him. And who knows? Maybe he'll emerge. A lot of it will be determined as to who else they pick up.
You got any thoughts? What happened to this kid?
I mean, I don't necessarily think anything happened. I mean, some players, you know, it's just – kind of the cycle. You see it with a lot of players, that some players just don't, you know, happen to be as good as everybody thought they were coming, you know, when Southern Miss signed him. It doesn't mean that he's necessarily still a bad, like he's just a terrible player. It's just the players in front of him might be better, you know. And the good thing about the transfer portal is he has the option to transfer to a place where he can play.
But he hasn't.
So, you know, that to me is the question. More of the question, not necessarily – Braylon Braxton is obviously better than John White. That's not even a question, right? I think everybody would agree to that. And then last year was a freshman, so do you really want a freshman getting just put in there in situations when a team is 1-11? You don't want that because, you know, you don't want to hurt his mental, you know, framing. So I don't see the – you know, it's just – personally, I don't know why he hasn't transferred, to be honest. But I think, too, that – argument, now he might see himself as a legitimate viable candidate to be the starting player quarterback next season.
He could compete for the job.
He could compete with Landry.
One of the things I want to know, you guys, is why you would think that at some point we would start getting leaks from all these college players as to how much they're getting to go to these other schools. The reason I would be interested in all this is because Chris Jones, to me, stands to make a really nice payday. When you looked at his social media posts and saw, 29 schools or something that had reached out to him about his skill set, that tells me, especially when he's looking at Ole Miss and Florida State and some of these other schools, Kansas State, which I thought was kind of an interesting one in there, that he's getting ready to get paid. And I, none of our business, I'm just curious as to what these players...
The point is that players are now expensive, as I go back to what I just said. I mean, Chris Jones is more than likely going to get $500,000 plus. To go play for somewhere else. I mean, if we're being honest.
Right.
And Southern Miss can't match that money. I mean, it's no. I mean, it's not like many Group of Five teams can. It's no knock to Southern Miss.
Right.
It's just many Group of Five teams can't match that money, which is why it's such a disparity in college athletics right now. And, you know, we're going to see, and Southern Miss fans are going to hate when I say this, and it's just the truth,
I'm not a Southern Miss fan. I'm a reporter and writer and tell it how it is. Like, it's going to get more dispersed from a Southern Miss team playing a Power 5 team more and more as this NIL era goes on.
There's no doubt.
Just not going to be the same athletes on the field anymore.
It's why I like the NFL. At least they're honest about it. It's about money.
And they have contracts, and know how
they
long.
They have a salary cap, which makes the league competitive.
Correct. And with that contract, you know how long you've got the rights to this guy. You can at least plan your team based on the fact that this guy's going to be around.
Could something be based on that model?
Another 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
4th Street Bar Grill sponsors the fourth segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour every day. It's a great place for dinner and lunch. Catch the ball games. They start Thursday night, I think. Ole Miss plays Thursday night, if I'm not mistaken. And then Indiana plays on Friday night. And then talk about an NFL weekend, fellas. This is the best weekend of the year for football.
Yeah, but we're going to have another unofficial Super Bowl.
What do you mean?
Well, the Bengals aren't so the Super Bowl will be an unofficial one this year.
It just never ends, does it? We were talking off air whether you agree with it or not, and we'll move on. How can you not be impressed with the United States military? Is it not the greatest fighting force on the planet?
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
I was reading in the New York Times this morning that they cut the power of the Venezuelan capital to achieve the mission. And it's just like every time a military thing happens like that, I always just think like, man, I'm just glad they're on our side. And by the way, I can't wait to watch Zero Dark 32 because I'm sure that the movie will be about this raid.
Let me tell you the smartest people in Venezuela were. Those security people, when they realized the United States military was in the building, said, I don't think I want to fight.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to lay my gun down here and just surrender.
And I think it sends a message to other countries. And look, I'm not a political animal, and you can say what you want about Mr. Trump, but I think you would be well advised if you understood that when he says something, he tends to mean it.
Yeah.
You know,
whether
so
you like it or not.
Take it for what it's worth, but if he says something to me, I get it. You'll follow through.
It's that story that he told, and I know we got to move on, but at that story he told about the terrorist in his house, and he was on the phone, and the terrorist said, "Why did you send me a picture of my house?" And he said, "You'll see." I'd love that story.
I'd be leaving
so much.
The house quickly, really quickly.
He's like, "You'll either surrender or," and then he sent a picture of his house and a target on it.
I know what you did last summer, right?
Right. I'll tell you what, man. As a former military dad, my son was in the Air Force. I'm proud of him, man. They're amazing. They're amazing. And you know what, guys? Probably most people don't realize this. I'd be willing to bet you that 90% of the men that went in there were under 25 years old. Kids, young men, trained, lethal.
Well, are they available to play defense for the Bengals?
I don't even think the Delta Force can help the Bengals.
Yeah, you're probably.
Well, speaking of that, it is definitely Black Monday.
Yeah.
NFL coaches fired.
Yeah.
Kelly, we pick at you a lot, but honestly, what does a guy in Cincinnati have to do to get fired?
That's what I told you. This is all about all the NFL teams. It's about management. And if I don't like the Patriots, but you got to hand it to them, man. They were only down for a couple of years, and they're right back up at the top. And it's because they have good ownership. They have good foundation and a structure for how to run a pro sports franchise.
Sure, Packers are another good example of that.
They just when you have a good franchise, you're going to be competitive every single year.
The Rams are a great example of that. I'm really excited about the NFL playoffs though, because
be great.
I think there's about four or five teams who could all win the Super Bowl. The Rams are really good on offense. The Seahawks, nobody really talks about them. They are really good. Mm-hmm. They just smoked the 49ers the other night. I think the Texans with C.J. Stroud and that defense could be, if C.J. Stroud gets hot, they're going to be good. You mentioned the Patriots, what they can do. The Bears, of course, they always start slow, but then they just get hot at the end of the game. I mean, there's about five or six teams. You could name all of them.
I was looking at the bracket.
Everybody
last
with
night.
The Panthers.
A team that really, to me, has an avenue to the Super Bowl is the Bills, the Buffalo Bills, because Kansas City's not in their way anymore. The Ravens aren't in their way anymore. I think they have a real shot at getting to the Super Bowl.
How about in the future we do a red state, blue state Super Bowl? So like you...
Well, that's kind of how I pull for things.
We're about to get clipped on Twitter.
This is one thing I do think needs to be changed. You got an 8-9 divisional champion, and I think divisional champions should be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But you've got the the high-flying Rams coming to Carolina. It looks like to me you could tweak it a little bit there. The divisional champion should be in the playoffs.
No, I've always said that. What you should do is there's no problem with the way they qualify for the playoffs, but then reshake the deck based on their body of work.
Sure.
Because lots of times you have an easy regular season schedule and other teams have a tough schedule.
Well, what about the college football playoffs? Do y'all think the buys, because 1-7 and those teams, 1-4, 1-7, the only team that won was Indiana over the last 2 years. Do you think they decide on the new format at the end of January? Do you think they're going to go to 16 teams?
Well, I do think this already, guys. I mean, we're going to be the middle of January, ending college football season that started in August. It's beginning to get a lot like basketball.
Sure.
I think there's some tweaking to the playoffs that could certainly be done, but it seems to me that maybe you need to start it a little sooner.
I've been saying that for so long that the season needs to start about 2 weeks into August.
And shorten the regular season. There's no need that you have to play all these games.
So especially like 10 games, have the conference championships like the week before Thanksgiving, and then the playoffs be done by in New Year's Day.
And forget the money games. Go right into conference play. Day one. Let's get this over with. And because it's a tough sport. Football's a tough sport.
If they call us, we can solve a lot of stuff by the close of business today.
Everyone is entitled to our opinions.
I agree.
They can shut us off real quick.
And I know they really enjoy them. J.B. Middleton's on the show tomorrow. Is that not right?
How about that?
How about the dog on the radio show?
We'll try to
get
him.
How many days, Bob?
39, my man. Okay. 39. Southern Miss
to the top. Into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.